The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to the disciples, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied to Jesus, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish." And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Then Jesus ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Summertime. A time of beautiful weather. A time of more daylight hours. A time in which we can leave the cocoons of our homes and venture into our backyards and gardens, to lakes and into the country, enjoying the beauty of creation. Summer is also a time of weddings. Summer is a time of family reunions. Summer is a time of holidays where families gather together and go on road trips out to the lake or the park and spend time together. This summer I've been thinking about the blessing of family. The people that we call, as St. Paul does today in our reading from Romans, our blood, our relatives. Family are those who share our unspoken history. Family are the ones who share our most private moments, are the ones that we spend our rituals with, our Christmases with, our Thanksgivings, our Easters, our vacations. They are at funerals where we mourn. They are at weddings where we celebrate joy. They know our history. They know our lives. And the more time we spend with family, the less we can hide from them. They know our faults. They know our idiosyncrasies. They know our tendencies. We rely on family for support. We rely on family for love, for help, for guidance. But interestingly, it is these same family members who are the ones that we can also find ourselves most engaged in anger with. It is these same family members who we can often find ourselves most often fighting with. It is these same family members, these people who love us and are called to support us and share our lives, that we can most often find ourselves at odds with and arguing with. They can be the people that we want to run away from and distance ourselves from. But at the end of the day, they are family. They might share our last name. They might share similar relatives. We might have taken them in through marriage or been adopted by them by marriage, but nevertheless, they are our family. And that makes them special. It makes them different. It makes our relationship unique. Unlike someone on the street who annoys you, who does something that causes you to become angry, you cannot walk away from family. You know when the next Christmas or Thanksgiving or Easter rolls around, you are going to see them. Unlike a stranger, when it comes to family, you put expectations on them. You expect them to do things. You expect family to live up to a certain ideal. And when they fall short, you feel hurt. You can feel angry. And so it is in the family that we see the nastiest of fights, that we see the longest tears, that we see the most division. And that's sad. But it's true. Because when it comes to family, it's personal. It's emotional. We have an unspoken and unwritten covenant with one another. How we are to love one another and treat one another and respect one another. And when we feel that has been breached, it hurts. It causes us tears. Parents worry about children. Children are angry at parents. And the list from there goes on and on. We cannot walk away from one another. We cannot wipe the dust from our shoes and say, I'll never see you or talk to you again, because we know that's not the reality of family. We know that family often is brought together no matter how far away we move. There's a funeral that calls us home, a graduation, a Christmas, an Easter, an event, and here we are again. Today our reading about St. Paul from the Romans talks about family. And St. Paul considers himself a member of the family of Israel. St. Paul was born a Jew. He was raised a Jew. In fact, St. Paul says, when it came to being Jewish, I was number one in my class. I memorized the Torah. I memorized the commandments, the writings and learnings of the great rabbis and leaders. I was zealous for the faith, Paul says. I had no equal. You, Paul says to the people of Israel, you are my family. We ate together. We laughed together. We lived together. We cried together. And we look forward to a new future together. And now St. Paul writes that his heart is broken. Paul writes that he wished that he'd be cut off from God. In other words, that he could be cast to hell so the Israelites, his family, would receive the good news of Jesus Christ. As Paul receives the message of God, Paul goes to his family. He goes to those he knows. He goes to those whose language he speaks, whose festivals and rituals and customs he understands. And he says, I have this great news, this great word from God. And what does he get for his trouble? Criticized, beaten, stoned, arrested, threatened with death. For the gospel, Paul is rejected by his family. So Paul says, this can't be my mission. I'm going to the Gentiles. I'm going to those who are not part of the house of Israel. And I will bring them the good news of the gospel. In the process, the word of God, the gracious gift of Christ, is open to all the world. Because Paul was rejected by those he considered family. But it hurts Paul. It cleaves his heart. As he writes today in Romans, Israel had it all going for him. Unlike the Gentiles, they had a relationship with God. Unlike the Gentiles, God's promise, the person of Christ, came through their family. They knew the commandments. They had a covenant with God. They had a relationship with God and Christ. The Son of God came as them. He ate with them. He taught them. As we see today in our reading from the Gospels, He fed them. He cured them. He listened to them. And He, like Paul, was rejected by them. What do we do with this? As we see, as Christ takes these humble loaves and these fish, as He looks to heaven with, say, 15,000 people seated on the hillside in front of Him, He blesses it, He receives God's blessing, and He says, distribute. Christ forms community. In the sharing of food, in the simple fish and loaves, in the sharing of communion, in the sharing of baptism, in the sharing of fellowship over coffee, we form communion. We are community. And there are members. Just like there was members of the house of Israel. Just like there are members of Paul's own family. There are members who will reject the word of God. Who will say, that's not for me. There are members who will say, no, poppycock. There are members who will say, I want a different gospel. I want works righteousness. I want a gospel of financial benefit. I want a gospel that serves my needs, not the needs of my neighbor. I want a gospel that blesses me, not the world, whatever it may be. And like Paul, because these people are our brothers and sisters, they are our children, they could be our parents, our neighbors, our aunts or our uncles, we feel sad. It's not anger. It's not doubt. It's sadness. Because it's personal. It's important to us. And it's something we share. It's something that's called to define us. But what do we do? Well, we can yell at people. How dare you not go to church? How dare you not pray before you eat? How dare you not put your children in confirmation class? But is that helpful? It's not what Paul does. It's not what Jesus does. We could guilt people. Tell them they're going to hell. Tell them God hates them. Tell them their house will burn down. Their fields will be hit by hail. But is that what Paul does? No. Is that what Jesus does? No. What are we called to do? If we take seriously that the gift of Christ, the gift of faith, the knowledge of heaven, the gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift that's freely given, that we haven't earned it, then we also have to accept the fact that people can reject it, that people can turn from it, that people can criticize it, that people can mock it, because it is a gift. It is a gift from God. It's not a gift that we control. It's not a gift that we lord over other people. It's always a gift. And it's a gift that has been given to the world. And so when Paul experiences the roadblock in his family, he moves on and forms a new family of faith. And this family of faith is formed in places like Philippi and the surrounding communities that Paul goes and visits and shares in fellowship and writes them and says, you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus, when he's scorned by the religious elite, the Pharisees and the chief priests and the elders, we keep being told, what does he do? Does he yell at them? Does he curse them? Does he threaten them? No. He takes God's gift, the gift of the gospel, and he goes to the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the entrenched and outcasts of society and offers them God's gift. A gift of community, a gift of healing, a gift of the Spirit, and a gift of faith. That's the good news of the gospel. It's the good news of who we are as church, that we are community. And like Paul, it pains us when someone falls away from our community. It pains us when someone rejects a gift that is so precious to us. But like Paul and Christ, we are called to move forward, to continue to form new community, to continue to make God's gift known to the world, to share what we have, as simple as it might be. Bread and fish, communion and baptism, fellowship, whatever it may be, we share. And in the process, we multiply and we spread and we see God at work. We are the family of God. Like the families who have gone before us, there will be division. There will be those who fall away. There will be those who seemingly only work to cause us anger and heartache. But we're family. Nothing separates us from that. St. Paul will also write that there is nothing on earth. There is not life, there is not death, There is not angels, there is not demons, there is not the highest places or the lowest places that will separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus. We are united as family in Christ. Because, just like family, we have a shared history. Just like family, we have a shared value system. Just like family, we have shared goals. And just like family, we know the reality of one another. We know the bondage of sin. We know the freedom of forgiveness. We know the hope that we have in Christ. We come together for marriages. We mourn at funerals. We laugh during fellowship. God has formed us into family. And yes, it can hurt when the family experiences rapture. It can hurt when the family experiences division. This is true in your personal families, and it can be true in the family of God. But we are family. And what binds us is not of us. We don't control it. We don't own it. We don't decide who gets it and who's worthy of it. Just like the last name you inherited at birth, it's yours. What you do with it is up to you. How you portray it in the world is up to you. How you live with it is up to you. But it has been given to you. This is the gift of God. It's been given to us. It binds us together and it shows us a future with hope. When the world says, we can't do it, Christ says, hold on, what do you have? A couple loaves and fish, you can do it. And together we see it happen. This ministry we share together is about multiplying. We multiply the gifts and abilities of people. We multiply financial things. We multiply spiritual things. We multiply human things. And in the process we see God at work. For me, this is encouraging. This is good news. This family that we share with one another. This future that we share with one another. The support that we share with one another. Together, our baskets are never empty. Our stomachs may never need to be hungry. Because there's always more. Together we have more love and more hope and more resiliency and more prayer and a more and stronger vision for the future. Because we're not isolated. We've been brought together. And it's always my prayer that our family will grow. That our life in Christ will grow. Not about numbers, but about support. About fellowship. About experience. And about prayer. But we've been given all we need. It's in our baskets. And our prayer is that God will multiply it. Amen.